Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Joe, that was interesting that you just had the compliment that you did for Kyle Shanahan and the time that you spent together in Cleveland. What do you remember most about him as a coach?
Well, I always tell people he was the best coach in any sport that I've ever been around because he knew how to motivate players in a way that I think was intrinsically more motivating than any other style. You know, there's guys that like to be your buddy. That doesn't usually work. They like to be hard on you, which works a lot with younger players. And you know, if they're always screaming and yelling at you, it works a little bit at times. But I think with Kyle is he would show you on film, first of all, that he knew what every single player on offense needed to do on that play. He could coach it all up. I've never been around an offensive coordinator that could coach O-line because most of them come from the passing game. They come from the quarterback room or the receiver room. But he could coach every position. And then he would show you on film with empirical data that, hey, I'm putting you in the best position to possibly succeed. We are giving you the answers to the test before you go out there and play. And then now it's up to you to just play at your best. And knowing that I already had an advantage schematically that my coach was putting me in the best position to succeed on every single play, like that's the most motivating thing for a professional athlete who's trying to feed his family, who's trying to go out there and either prove that he can be a great player or prove that he still is a great player. And he really builds that team mentality within the offense, at least when he was with me. And I'm sure he's doing the same thing now that he's the head coach. Just because he was able to motivate you to just show you exactly what you needed to do. And that if you just do what he asks, you're going to be in a better position to go overcome whatever weakness that you may have because you have the advantage over your opponent.
And what is it about the scheme? And, you know, Mark and I, neither one of us played in the NFL. I'm pretty sure Mark didn't. I know I didn't, but the run scheme, what is it about the Shanahan run game coming from his dad all the way through Kyle that sets them apart from other teams?
So Kyle packages plays together. Most offensive coordinators that I've been around, they kind of have like a run sheet on one side and then they got a pass sheet on the other side. And it's like, all right, first down and 10. He'll call on the headset to the offensive line coach. Hey, what run do you like here? Okay, 96 power. Okay, great, let's call it. Boom, that play doesn't work. He's like, all right, now we're passing the ball. Then he goes to his pass sheet. Now he's calling stuff, right? And so those things don't really match. The formations, the personnel, the way they look, the way they're blocked, they don't really marry each other and they don't really go hand in hand where Kyle's calling everything. He's not asking his offensive line coach what he likes in the run game. He's thinking, all right, I'm going to set him up with this first play. Let's just, for a basic example, we're going to run outside zone to the left. We're going to give him a formation where it's a wing. We're going to send the tight end back across the formation to block the backside defensive end. And then we're going to run outside zone. Okay. Now the next play, we're going to run what almost looks like the same formation. They're obviously probably not going to line up in exactly the same thing, but maybe they'll motion to an end formation that looks the same way. They'll even bring that Y all the way across like he's going to block that defensive end on the backside. The offensive line blocking on the front side looks exactly like the run for the first 3 to 5 steps. Linebackers, safeties in the second and third level, now they think it looks exactly like a run because you know what? It looks and smells exactly like the play before, which was a run. And so now they're coming up and they're making their run fits and their eyes are in their position where it needs to be in the run game. And all of a sudden that backside tight end who has a slice block, who's going to block the backside defensive end. Now, whoop, he just slips past that backside defensive end. Now he's wide open in the flat because everybody on defense sees the exact same picture that they just saw on first down when they ran a run play. And so he lays out the entire game plan so that plays mirror each other, they match, and they make it so difficult. They put conflict on the defense, and they find the weaknesses in the defense to be able to put individual defenders in conflict where that guy doesn't know if it's a run or a pass, so he doesn't know if he has to go and fill in the run game or he has to drop in a pass game. And then even if the guy figures it out, it's that split second where he's indecisive that gives you the spacing in the secondary and the spacing on the football field to be able to throw the football where you want to go. And so if they know the defender that they're trying to put in conflict and they know that that split second of indecision is going to create a little bit of space, a couple yards, maybe on the hash, 20 yards down the field, now they're going to put a route right there, and understanding the coverage and making sure that they're going to get the coverage that they want based on the shift in the formation and the personnel grouping that they get, so that they can tell the quarterback before he starts. This is why he's had so much success with quarterbacks that are not very heralded, is like, hey, that guy knows exactly where to throw the ball almost before the play is called in the huddle, because he hears it in his headset and Kyle's saying, hey, 20 yards down the field on the left hash, that's where the hole's going to be, right? And so as long as he's seeing everything pre-snap like he expects, he knows exactly where the ball is going to go. Maybe he looks off the safety to start, but he knows exactly where he's going to get back to. And so he really simplifies things for quarterbacks and for an entire offense, because all these plays are packaged together and you know where the holes in the defense are.
Oof, that's some good breakdown there. Wow, that's some Hall of Fame breakdown. Joe Thomas is with us. Hey, Joe.
Sweaty.
Yeah, I bet. Okay, so after we all eat our turkey on Thanksgiving Thursday, 3 days later, the 49ers are going to be in Cleveland. And you don't need to remind our fan base that weird stuff can happen there. P.J. Walker beat the 5-0 49ers just a couple of years ago, and then there was last weekend with the whole thing against the Green Bay Packers, who were swaggering into town. What is it, man? Why is that place such a difficult place to play?
Well, it's a hostile environment. It's cold. The weather's often pretty crappy on the shores of Lake Erie. The stadium's right there off the lake, so you get a cold wind that blows off. A lot of times you're getting moisture, you're getting snow, you're getting rain late in the season. You're coming in a lot of times from a warmer climate, and you're maybe overlooking the Cleveland Browns a little bit because the record's not so strong. And so you got all these factors that kind of play into it. And I think sometimes it leads to a little bit of a sleepy performance. Maybe the preparation isn't quite as great as it should be going into the game because you think you're playing an inferior opponent. You're going to Cleveland instead of Miami, so the guys aren't quite as excited. They're more excited to go home than they are to play the game. And I think this year especially, you're going to see the Browns win a lot of games that they probably shouldn't, just because they've got, one, the best defense in the NFL right now, and two, in my opinion, the greatest defensive player that's ever played football in Myles Garrett. I don't know if you saw against the Packers, but there was actually called plays where the Packers were blocking him with three people because they could not double team him and stop him from hitting their quarterback.
Woo. Yeah. He is incredible and a total game wrecker. And he did, on Sunday. Hey, Joe, you're awesome, man. Thanks for coming on. Congrats on everything that you're working on. And you know, we're happy to talk about it anytime. We love Wagyu steak.
Hey guys, thanks for having me on. Eat more beef.
Eat more beef.
There it is.
Joe Thomas, ladies and gentlemen, who, by the way, had a hat on that said beef.
Yep.
He had a shirt on that said beef. And then he just left the show by yelling, eat more beef.
And in the background, there was more logos that pertained to beef. And, yeah, he even mentioned it like, yeah, offensive linemen, you're expected to go out there and play through two bad knees and a shoulder out of the socket. You look at his career, and he played 11 years. The first 10 years he played in every single game.
Yep.
He was a Pro Bowler every single year.
Oh, he's a phenomenal player.
And he never played a playoff game because he played in Cleveland.
Because he played for the Browns.
10 straight years, you play all 16. You're a Pro Bowler, first team, all pro, six times, and no playoff games. It just, I mean, heartbreaking is probably over-dramatizing it because he had a great career and he got the gold jacket, but the guy played all those years and he played. When they started tracking snaps his last 5 years before he got hurt, he played every snap. So not only every game, but every snap as well.
Just an incredible guy, an incredible player for the Cleveland Browns. Did great broadcasting work on NFL Network. The only thing that I have questions about, I can't believe they ate Jack. I can't believe they did that.
Yeah.
They named the cow Jack after son, and then they're like, yeah, Jack was pretty tasty.
Very tasty.
Wow.
And that's why I was asking, because I was thinking,
whoa,
you go farm to table, but it's one thing to go pet to table. Like, hey, kids, here's our pet. We're going to name him Jack. And then, whatever, 3 months later, daddy, what happened to Jack? Oh, he's on the barbecue right now.
That was a little
medium rare.
That was a little uncomfortable. I'm not going to lie. That was a little uncomfortable.
But honestly, like,
I mean, I love beef as much as
next. And we're just a couple Cali kids. Like, the idea of having a farm and raising beef, and then it's going to go ahead and slaughter that thing, and then we're going to serve it up.
Even when
I try to, like, pull some veggies out of the garden, I feel sad. That's how soft I am.
I can't believe you even have a garden.
Right. Well,
what are you doing out there?
It's kind of nice out there. It's a fruitful area. But,
yeah,
we're going ahead and name them, and then we're going ahead and serve them.
I wonder, did Niner fans, did y'all hear what he just said? Okay.
About Kyle Shanahan?
The best coach that he's ever been around.
In any sport.
In a major Hall of Fame career as a Gold Jacket left tackle, Kyle Shanahan, offensive coordinator for Joe Thomas years ago, the best coach that he's ever been around. He can sit there, put you in your best position to succeed, which is it's a sentence that Kyle uses all the time, and then explain kind of why and how he motivates people. And I thought that was fascinating to listen to him talk to about why and how any coach, for that matter, will take a player after a play and sit down and go, okay, here's what's going on. Here's what's going on with the play. Here's what's going on with your technique. Here's what's going on with your body. Here's what's this, that, and the other, and then lay it all out. That is very high praise from a very high place.
Right. I mean, one of the best offensive linemen of all time, and just looking at the Shanahan effect, the year before Shanahan, Rob Chudzinski with Norv Turner as the coordinator, they go 4-12. All right, Cleveland, that's what you do.
Yep.
Shanahan comes in with Mike Pettine. They go 7-9. Shanahan leaves. The next year, it's Mike Pettine again with John DeFilippo, 3-13, back to Cleveland. I'm not saying that Shanahan was the lone reason.
No.
Because, you know, Cleveland was different quarterbacks, DeShone Kizer and all the other names that we can make up, and we could play Browns QB or not Browns QB. It's a hard one to play, but
incredible.
The fact that that was a year, and then the year after that, it's Hugh Jackson and Pep Hamilton, and they went 1-15. So there you have it, your Cleveland Browns trajectory. Then the next year, Hugh Jackson, 0-16.
Yeah.
I mean, Joe Thomas, my heart goes out to you.
Yeah. 32 football games in that the 2 year stretch. They won one of them.
One of them. So
that's so crazy.
I'll see if I can track down what his winning percentage was as a Cleveland Browns, but it was probably about 30% victories.
But don't overlook that thing when you go there. Like we were looking at this because holiday plans are starting to come into place and families are talking about where we're going to be and everything, and we were looking at Thanksgiving week. And we were struck. Lovely Christy and I were talking about this last night. We're like, ooh, that's a weird week for the Niners. The Niners play on Monday night of Thanksgiving week. So 3 days before the holiday, the Niners will host the Carolina Panthers. And then you've got the holiday always makes it for a weird week. But so it leads to a short week that leads right into Cleveland, which also means your longest trip of the year and one of those early starts. Your body clock, it's a 10 a.m. game. So from a Monday night game, squeeze Thanksgiving in there, then be at Cleveland for a 10 a.m. kickoff, and oh, by the way, your bye week is the next week, which means you will have played, is that week 12 or week 13?
Week 13, I believe.
Okay, you will be playing 13 straight games if you're the 49ers. No break. So I'm telling you already, and I know you've said this already.
Yep, I have.
That is a hard, like, all we got to do is play Cleveland. Put it through a filter. That is going to be hard. Their defense is absolutely first rate. They're as good as any defense. They just can't play offensive football. Cleveland has been the same thing my whole life. They can't play offense, but they can play defense. Maybe during the Bernie Kosar years, they could play a little offense. But outside of that, no offense. but they can play on defense. That's a hard game. And the 5-0 Niners 2 years ago, they learned it. They learned it. It was a really hard game. This is late in the year. Hell, it might be snowing, for God's sakes. It's like November 30th or something like that.
Yeah, and like Joe said, the one thing you can guarantee is hostile environment and that wind blowing off, I believe it's Lake Erie right there. Mm-hmm. Stadium right by the lake.
It's a good word.
A cold wind blowing. And yeah, I already called it early in the year as a scheduled loss. And for me, it's absolutely that, because mentally you're 13 games into it and you're looking forward to the bye. You can't help but forward to the bye, and you have to go play against that dude. And Joe talked about it. Myles Garrett, they triple teamed him on a play. So we're all right. You're in the huddle and you're Green Bay. You're like, all right, guys, I don't know what play we're going to call, but you see 97 over there. You're going to block him, and I'll run around and do what I can do. But the three of you need to take on Myles Garrett.
Dude,
and that dude's disruptive.
Green Bay was just hustling through the Lions and Washington. They were coming off of a mini bye. They had a Thursday night game, had a week and a half to get ready for this. And then they go out to Cleveland. And even those of you who are like, oh, fluky loss, like blocked field goal led to a long field goal the other way. The bottom line is even if Green Bay kicks that field goal with no problems, that means they won the football game 13-10. Like, they could not get into the end zone off of the Cleveland Browns. Garrett is incredible. Absolutely incredible. All right. Talking it all out here on 95.7 The Game, and it's presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL and CBS, and on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Hey, while we're on Shanahan, I want you to pull out your daily deep dive.
Okay.
Pull out your daily deep dive. And we'll play the Shams thing about Jimmy Butler in a little bit, because I know some of you might be waiting for that. It's pretty interesting. But I heard Kyle either late yesterday or early today. I don't know when exactly he said it, but he publicly stated, someone asked him, hey, if that pass to Jake Tonjes there in Seattle, if that falls incomplete, hey, hot shot, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You're at the 3-yard line. It's 4th down. 3 minutes and change to go in the game. And you're down by 3. And your field goal kicker is in a bad way.
Oh, boy.
What are you going to do? His answer was something along the lines of, well, this is a hypothetical, and he goes, you'd be surprised how often I make that decision in the 40 seconds that I've got.
Questionable
concern. So he was leaving open for the possibility that he might have changed his mind. But he goes, when the ball was thrown, because I didn't think anybody was open, and he goes, and Brock proved to me that somebody was, which is a funny way of saying it.
Right.
But he goes, when the ball was in the air, when it left his hands, I'm thinking this is probably going to be incomplete. And I will admit to you that the first thing I did was I looked down at my sheet and I was getting ready to call a 4th down play. He was going to go for it. If I submit to you that Jake Moody's troubles are part of that decision,
yeah,
can I also get a couple of pops for the idea that we're dealing with a different Kyle Shanahan this year? Like 4th and 2, timing route to Ricky Pearsall, even though that was a really long field goal, it's field goal range. How about 4th and 1? I know you're outside the 1-yard line, but with a quarterback who couldn't walk, and you're going for it. And you admit that you would have gone for it there, knowing that if you don't get it, you're going to open yourself up to major criticism. You could have tied the game with a field goal, and you wouldn't do it. I don't know exactly what's going on, and we're still in a small sample area.
Yep.
But Kyle Shanahan appears to be a little bit less conservative this year.
Too early to really tell.
That's what I'll say.
I like it, and I'll just say this by the numbers. Last year, the Niners were 30th out of 32 in 4th down conversion attempts. They averaged 0.9 per game, which is to say over 17 games, they went for it about 14 or 15 times. So far through this year, 3 games, they go for it 1.3 times a game, which is tied for 15th, middle of the league. And so I do think that early on, a lot of it was Moody related, and I'm looking at 4th and 2 at the Seattle 30, and they went for it, and Farrell converted it, right?
Yep.
And you went on to have the second field goal miss of the game. It got blocked. And so Shanahan at that point is thinking, my God, I'm out of my character. We went for it. We got it. And then we got stalled. We had to kick it. It got blocked. And so, yeah, later in the game, 4th and 2 at the Seattle 14, they went for it. They converted it. And that also led to a field goal. Week 2, they're up by 2. 4th and 2 at the New Orleans 28. With Moody, I think they go for it. They choose Eddie Money. He kicked it. You go from up 2 to up 5. And that was, you know, in the third quarter in that one. So, again, I think that one was kind of kicker related. And then you mentioned the 4th and 1 from the 1. I think everybody goes for that one now, thinking that if we don't get it and we have a good defense, we're going to make them go 99.
I will tell you, to me, this one was a coin flip. And I you're not wrong. The idea of we're at the 1, 1st and goal at the 1, 2nd and goal at the 1, 3rd and goal at the 1, now it's 4th and goal at the 1. It's almost like you're considered less than an adult. You're less than a man if you can't go for that. But if you run that through the filter of the situation, Mac Jones couldn't move. And it's 6-6. Nobody's using the end zones in this game.
Right.
Points were at an unbelievable premium. You could walk out there, put your little chippy through, and that's 20% of the points in the entire game. I wouldn't have thought it was crazy if they kicked the field goal. I understand the idea of, A, you should be able to get a yard, and B, if you don't, Arizona's stuck at the 1-yard line and you like your chances. And they did almost force a safety.
They did, yeah.
I get it. I really do. But at the same time, I would not have thought Kyle crazy if he had kicked the field goal there. And beyond that, what I'm really getting at, and we'll welcome your calls here, 888-957-9570, and it's twofold. A, do you think that Kyle is getting a little more racy out there? And B, do you like it? And I do. I feel like, and you're right, it's a small sample. We'll see where this goes. But I think that Kyle has made a little bit of an adjustment to sort of join the rest of the league. It's like, okay, if you're all going to go for it on 4th down, and we're going to really push the end zone and try to get an edge that way, man, I got to at least be a little bit more open-minded to those kinds of situations. That's what I see so far.
I think there's a third piece of it, especially when it comes to that 4th and 1, and that is, all right, you take the chippy and you make it. Well, the touchback rule is so punishing to the kicking team, so you kick the field goal, you get it, you're up 9-6, and Eddie happens to kick it in the end zone. Well, now they get it at the 35.
Sure.
So you got the 3 points, but you gave up 34 yards for Arizona, and the negative is you go for it, you don't get it. Well, they're at the 1. So if they, you know, can work their way out to the 35 and they eventually punt from there, well, it's still a tie game and you get the ball back. And the other piece of it was the final 4th down, 4th and 2 from the Arizona 40. They went for it because that would have been Eddie Money's longest field goal make of his career.
Yeah,
and that's when they threw
yarder.
It to Ricky Pearsall, which
right.
If I'm going to give it to you that he is showing a little bit more cojones, and I do think that it's trending in that direction, the fact that they went for the deep throw, the deep shot on 4th and 2, that was like, yeah, I'm going to give my backup quarterback a chance to make a play on a bum leg, as you're saying. He's got a knee brace. It's 4th and 2, and we're going to throw a deep shot down outside the hash down the right side.
Might have been one of the reasons he did call that play was the bum knee, because it was a you know, snap, drop 1 foot, throw, just like get the ball out of my hands. I'm not gonna put Mac back there to maneuver around in the pocket. I don't know. In fact, you know, we talked about this during Grandy's grades yesterday. Like, what I hated about the 4th and 1 play down at the goal line was not that you went for it, it was the play that you called. I mean, Mac couldn't move. Mac couldn't move, and then you drop him back, and he clearly needs to get rid of the ball as quickly as possible. He does so before Christian's ready. And by the way, thank goodness Christian didn't catch the ball, because if he did, that very well might have been a fumble that returns
the fumble six.
I mean,
right.
My gosh, he got eaten alive out there in the flat. So That was a tough exchange and a tough sequence.
Yep.
But I like, again, Kyle has got a little bit of a gunslinger thing going on where it's like, no, we're doing this. We're doing this, and if we don't get it, great. Defense, go out there and turn it back around again.
I think that's also part of it, where the defense is playing so well that you have that faith at fourth and one on the one. So, yeah, he probably thought in the moment, and I'm looking at my notes, and the third and one play, John Feliciano, who joined us yesterday, said he thought Connor Colby stepped on Mac Jones's foot.
Yeah.
And so that thing got blown up, and they went with two running backs and three tight ends. No receivers on the field. And it was our 10 guys against your 11. Let's see who can man up and can we get this yard. And Colby steps on Mac. Mac gives it to Christian. And the strong side where they had all those different tight ends, Braden was out there, and you had your Tonjes and your Farrell, and you had Juszczyk, and you had all the big fellas out there, and you couldn't get anywhere. And so, all right, now it's fourth and one. Well, we're not trying that again because that didn't work. So I don't mind the pass there, but like you're saying, quarterback was hobbled. You didn't have Kittle. And so your red zone efficiency has been a big problem, but I liked it because, all right, now you're at the one, Arizona, and checks notes, you are yet to score a touchdown against us. So go ahead and go 99 yards. And at that point, it was almost the end of the third quarter. So you're thinking, all right, Arizona, if you can go 60 yards and kick a long field goal, fine. It's 9-6. I don't think you're going 99 yards against us. So
probably not.
You know, in
unless
that spot,
Marvin Harrison catches a ball.
Right.
I mean,
which that very next sequence, it was Harrison for 6, Benson for 3, intentional grounding, which was almost a safety.
Yep.
And, you know, 4th and 11 from their own one. All right. You get to punt now from the shadow. And that was a time where Niners got it in plus territory, yeah, and they went on to score.
And it turned into a touchdown.
Right.
Yeah, no, he played it right, 100%.
But your point is well made. Like, it's just a little bit of a shift.
Well, think about it back again to not what they have done, but the hypothetical of what they would have done. Because to me, that's actually the hammer in this conversation. Imagine, and yes, Jake Moody's a part of it, but you're also at the 3. Like, even Jake might have made that. Like, it's a 20-yard field goal.
Sometimes the close ones are tougher because the angle, you know.
The angle a little bit. But, I mean, if you're going back to Seattle, you're down 13-10. This is your last chance. You're down to a couple minutes left to go in this game. Brock Purdy is injured. That's probably factoring into your thinking as well. And I think it factored into why Brock threw that ball to Jake Tonjes when he wasn't open. The Niners decided in that moment, we're either going to win the game or we're going to lose the game right now. We are not doing Jake Moody anymore, and we are not doing overtime because I'm hurt, and he can't kick field goals, and we got to get up out of here. That's how they played it, and that's interesting to me. Brock gets the touchdown, but if he doesn't, Kyle goes for it, and I don't think there's any question that that would have been an unbelievable discussion for all of us to have for a week. If they get to 4th and goal from the 3.
And the 4 even, yeah.
Down by 3 points.
Minute 40 to go.
And you go for it. That's super cojone area.
It is, but
that's crazy.
I do think we all would have understood after what we had seen, which was Moody misses a chippy, and then the second field goal was blocked. And I think you even said this, like, if he would have not completed that and the Niners were able to keep the ball, you would have wanted them to go just so you wouldn't have to see Jake Moody go out there and try to make a 21-yarder. After he missed, what was the first one, 28 in the first half?
I don't even remember, but it was a chippy.
Yeah.
It was a chippy.
So, yeah, I think that we all would have understood much more than, let's just say that same scenario comes up this weekend where, all right, it's 4th and goal from the 4-yard line, and you've got Eddie Pinheiro with a chance to tie the game. I think we all would want Eddie to go out there and kick it, knowing that he's probably 95-97% sure to make it, as opposed to with Jake Moody, you're thinking more like, I'd rather have him lose, giving it up on downs, than watch Jake Moody doink another one off the upright.
No doubt, no doubt. Like, you're probably right. That's at least a piece of it, at least.
Right.
At least a piece of it is, after what they'd have experienced, hell, there might have even been a conversation. Hi, Brock, it's Kyle. Hey, Kyle, it's Brock. Hey, listen, no kickers. We're not doing kickers. I'm surprised they kicked the extra point. Go for two, dog. Oh, boy. Come on. Go for two. Do it. You won't. And he didn't. But
nor
anyway, like seriously, no kickers. And it's not even just that you're worried Jake is going to miss it. I've said this a few times. If he makes it, it's 13-13. There's a minute and a half to go. Again, you're kicking off. New kickoff rules. You're probably going to get a short field. Seattle can get two first downs and win the game with a field goal. Or they don't, and you go to overtime, which often becomes a field goal kicking contest, which you want no part of.
Yeah, good point.
So I think that might have gone through their head, where they're just like, we're just not doing this. We got to win this right now.
Yeah, and earlier in the game, he basically had no choice because they pick up that fourth and two. They're at the 14. Fourth and two, they go for it, and they pick it up with CMC, and then it's a no gain. It's an incomplete. It's a false start. It's an incomplete. Now it's fourth and 13 from the 13. I mean, what are we doing? We're not going to go for it on fourth and 13. I mean, you're allowed to.
Maybe.
You're allowed to, but at that point, you're like, all right, Jake, you missed one. You had one blocked. It's either you make this or you're cut. P.S., you're cut anyway. But
exactly.
Do me a favor and make it. And he did, and that tied the game. But I bet you if it was fourth and five from the five, they would have gone for it. But fourth and 13 from the 13, that's one you absolutely can't go for that one.
No, sometimes you have no choice. 888-957-9570. All right, we're almost to 5:30, and we definitely want to discuss this a little bit. This caught my ear because it's interesting. No, nothing is brand new, at least not in the conversations between the Warriors and Jonathan Kuminga. But let's do it. Let's all take a shot of Kuminga together. And as we get ready, you know, it's 5:28 somewhere.
Bay Area. This is Jonathan Kuminga.
Hi, Jonathan. So check this out. Shams Charania is doing the reporting for ESPN on NBA Today. And I want you to pay very careful attention to one particular sentence, and you'll know it when you hear it, with regard to what Jimmy Butler is doing right now with the Warrior roster. Check it out.
Jimmy Butler is actually holding a team function, a team mini camp in San Diego this week. This is the first full year of Stephen Curry, Draymond Green, Jimmy Butler all together. One player that is not there, the only player on the potential Warriors roster that isn't there, is a restricted free agent, Jonathan Kuminga. My understanding is he is not appearing at this team function, this camaraderie mini camp in San Diego. This is still at a stalemate. I spoke to Aaron Turner, Kuminga's agent, today, and he told me the player option still remains critical in these conversations. We know about the 3-year $75 million offer or 2-year $45 million offer. Both still have team options in them. Him, just like Grimes, has until October 1st.
Okay, so few things now. He mentions Grimes. He's talking about Brent Grimes in Philadelphia. Brent Grimes, football player.
Yeah.
Quentin Grimes.
For the wife, Miko Grimes, who was very newsworthy for a while.
Oh, my God.
There.
Yeah, that was a throwback.
Yeah.
And a brain fart. Anyway, yes, Quentin Grimes, Philadelphia, the other restricted free agent who hasn't gotten it figured out yet. The other two did. Obviously, Cam Thomas in Brooklyn. Situation in Chicago with the long-term deal there.
Yeah, Josh Giddey, yeah.
With Giddey, yeah, 4 years, $100 million. Okay, so these are the last two guys left. So he makes reference to, we're still in the exact same spot. Warriors are offering these two deals. They both have a team option, and that's where they sit. My belief, and I could be wrong, that the Warriors have arrived at a spot when it's this late in the party where they're just like, these are the two deals. Take them or if you want to do the qualifying offer, do the qualifying offer. But did you hear the sentence where Shams says that Jimmy Butler is in San Diego hosting a team function and everybody who is even on the potential roster other than Kuminga is there? Now, he didn't use names, but he used the word potential roster, which tells me, at least my perception, when you say everyone that's on the potential roster, would suggest to me at least that Al Horford and Gary Payton II and D'Anthony Melton and Steph's little brother Seth are also all there. And you can do that because even though he refers to it as a team function, it's not.
Right.
it's Jimmy Butler hosting something in San Diego. So if he just wants to invite his free agent buddies over there to play ball, they can. And Jimmy, as we know, let's follow the breadcrumbs. He called around to the Warriors and teammates. This is per Dalton Johnson within the last couple of weeks to say, guys, what's going on? I feel like we can take from this that Jimmy is not comfortable with all of the unknown that's going on as training camp is about to begin. So Jimmy takes it upon himself to say, we're doing our own mini camp in San Diego, and we can start working out with the guys who aren't even technically on the team yet, even though the whole world knows they're going to be on the team. And so they do that, but Jonathan is still not there. A team camaraderie building event, and Jonathan is still not there. I don't know how this is going to work out. I think we've arrived at a spot where there's kind of no choice but for Jonathan to be on the team. But I'll just refer to what I've been saying for the last few weeks. This is the start of, for me, concern number one.
Well, this just in from Sam Amick.
Yes.
He tweeted this out about a half an hour ago. I retweeted it. After more than a month of no talks between the Warriors and Kings about a sign-and-trade, sources tell The Athletic that they have reconnected recently. Could a deal still go down here? One, hopefully last, look at the dynamics in play. That's from Sam Amick of The Athletic. So,
and Sam's big time.
Yes, and he's actually very well connected with everyone in the association, but particularly with these two teams. He was, I think he may still live in the Sacramento area, but he says sources tell The Athletic that they have recently reconnected and they have had talks after a month of no talks. So all of a sudden now there's been a reconnection. So there's that.
Look, I'm on record and have been now for a couple of months. I'm not in a position to say like, oh, they would never do this. They would never have him on the team, or he's not going to. The qualifying offer is a middle finger to each other. But I'm telling you, I've been on record for a couple of months. You know this, that I think it's a bad idea just because of where we've arrived. I do not think that. I know we all believe in the Warrior culture. This is a unique scenario. I believe in the Warrior culture too. I believe in these veterans. But this to me is a unique scenario. And I just think you're playing with a tremendous amount of fire to actually have Jonathan on the team this year based on where conversations have gone. That's not me rooting for either side. That's not me saying that Jonathan should or shouldn't be on the team. This is based on the lines that both sides have drawn. I don't see how y'all can function together. So I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised, and I'm hopeful. I know that there were two sticking points to this conversation the first time around.
Yep,
One of them was that the Kings were offering a first-round pick that was protected.
2030, lottery protected.
And the Warriors want it to be unprotected. The other sticking point was previously that Malik Monk idea, salary-wise, was going to force the Warriors to either include Buddy Hield or Moses Moody in the deal, which they don't want to do. So those were the sticking points before. I don't know if there's maybe some adjustments to the deal that can be made. You heard Aaron Turner on our station last week actually name check the Sacramento Kings. He's like, BJ Armstrong told us that Jonathan could be himself. So, like, that's where their eyes are too. And their hearts maybe.
Of course they are. And Sam even mentions that it would be a chance to give Kuminga 3 years and $63 million. And it would be Malik Monk. And Sam Amick of The Athletic goes on to say there are several obstacles that remain. One of them is the Warriors' interest in Monk. It appears to be quite muted. And the other sticking point is that they would create some desired salary cap space by trading either Buddy Hield or Moses Moody. And in recent weeks, they have been very hesitant to do that because of their affinity for both of those players. So if the Warriors do change their stance on this and maybe the Kings decide to remove the lottery protection and the Warriors have to just bite the bullet and take Monk and trade Hield or Moses Moody. So the very fact that the two sides maybe are revisiting this with the deadline coming up here in a week, that's at least it's not bad news if you want this to be resolved in a way that does not have Jonathan Kuminga here on the qualifying offer. And I do think that both sides are covetous of that as the end game, right, Mark? Like, he doesn't want to take the qualifying offer. They don't want him to be here on that qualifying offer. So the very fact that the two sides may have revisited this, that's good news.
It's good news, but I think it also suggests that both sides believe each other.
Right. The Warriors believe that he might just play on the qualifying offer.
And the Kuminga side believes that the Warriors are not turning it into a player option.
Right.
Period.
Right.
Period.
And if Kuminga is dead set on that, either I get a player option or I take the qualifying offer, then the Warriors are in a spot because they certainly don't want that. And even though Kuminga doesn't want that, I think it would be more of a disaster for the Warriors for the next year.
I don't know, man. Because it's a disaster for everybody.
It is, but at least yeah. From the Kuminga side, after a year of getting 7.9, whatever happens, and we out. And if you're the Warriors, you only have two more years in the Steph Curry window.
Yeah.
I mean, you might have more, but you know, you've got 2 years of the big three together, and if one of those years is spent dealing with this crap,
well,
that's half of what you have left.
Again, what I foresee, and I don't know this, but what I foresee is if you get to the qualifying offer situation, if that's the way this all were to land, Jonathan accepts the qualifying offer and shows up. To me, that's when there are hurt feelings. That's when what you have is a player in the building who is beyond pissed. And so are you.
Well, the team is probably in the same boat. They have a little San Diego get-together, and I'm sure he was invited, and he probably was like, nah, I'm going to stay out here in Cleveland.
Well, but from Jonathan's perspective, that would be a terrible idea. Like, good Lord, what if you went and got hurt? What if you went and got hurt? And also, yeah, what message does that send? You're in the middle of very difficult high stakes negotiations. So to then go be like, yeah, I'm on the team. Like, I bet he very much feels like right now, like he's not. You know, everybody in these situations ends up feeling not wanted. Doesn't necessarily mean it's true, but everybody feels that way when they're negotiating with their job and their job's not giving them what they want. They feel not wanted. So team function? No thanks. No thanks. Not a smart move for him. You got to get this figured out before everybody gets together. Who knows who's going to say what to who? Like, he doesn't need those influences right now. Or maybe he does, but I'm sure he and Aaron Turner do not think he needs those influences right now.
Fair. And your point about possible injury is real, but I'm just thinking about it from Jimmy Butler's standpoint and the other veterans where, all right, we're gonna do this. And Horford and GP2 and Seth Curry and D'Anthony Melton, we're 99.99% sure you're going to be a part of this. So let's get together before camp. Let's bond. Let's maybe shoot around and play some games. And, you know, certainly with Jimmy Butler, there'll be a coffee tasting and there'll be dominoes and all the rest of it. And we'll just hang out for 2 or 3 days. And then we'll all go to camp having a head start on getting to know each other. And you've got this one player who isn't there because he won't take $75 million. He won't take a 3-year, $75 million deal, which is more than fair, to come down and be a part of us. I'm sure that some of the players, especially the vets, are, you know, feeling some type of way about JK. Even though you don't count each other's pockets, I know that. You still, if you're Jimmy Butler and you want to, like, make this thing work and everybody wants to get together and make it work and you've got Jonathan Kuminga who's not a part of it for obvious reasons, that's not going to work, you know?
Hmm. There is one banger of a quote inside this Sam Amick piece about Malik Monk that I would like to pass along because this is not a piece of the puzzle that we've talked about before. So we'll do that coming up next. We're sponsored by LifeSource Water Systems, and this is Willard and Dibbs.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You walk in tired and hungry, one bad dinner away from losing it. You don't like to cook. You don't want more takeout. You just want something good. That's why there's Dish by Blue Apron. Pre-made meals with at least 20 grams of protein and no artificial flavors or colors, from fridge to fork in 5 minutes or less. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
It's a fantastic question. It really is. First time I've been asked it this way.
Ooh, that's a good question. That's a good question.
Well, that's a great question.
On 95.7 The Game.
All right, this is an important one, Warrior fans. Good stuff today. Joe Thomas on the show. Greg Cosell on the show.
Yeah.
A lot of Niners.
You'd be wrong.
No, I'm right. It was a good show.
Oh. I picked the wrong one. I'm sorry. That's the one. Bop, bop.
So if you're just joining us,
always good.
Yeah. If you're just joining us, we're talking about how Shams has reported that Jimmy Butler has put together a little soiree, a little clam bake, a little team building exercise in San Diego, his own personal mini camp. And Shams says every potential member of the Warriors roster was there.
My name is Buddy.
Yeah, I don't know this, but that tells me that I think he means that that quartet of Al Horford, Gary Payton II, D'Anthony Melton, and Seth Curry are probably all there as well. Mark Stein reported the other day those guys are in.
Hi, this is Guy Santos.
Yes. Yes.
And that's another laugh we need to add to the...
Not bad.
Bay Area, it's Guy Santos here. Hey, Dibs, your pigs stink.
Okay, it's good. Anyway,
Thank you, Randy.
I'm sure Guy was there. And I'm sure he chuckled. But anyway, Jonathan Kuminga not there. And then Sam Amick of The Athletic with a report not too long ago that the Warriors and Kings have rebirthed sign-and-trade conversations. With the deadline looming, it is exactly, let's see, it's a week from today, right? Isn't a week from today, October 1st?
Yep.
Yeah, week and from today.
Camp starts, I think, 3 days before that.
Yeah, so the deadline is coming real fast. Nothing has changed with regard to the negotiating stance of the Warriors, the negotiating stance of Jonathan Kuminga and his agent. So I saw this line, and I wasn't aware of this. we were talking a minute ago, and I know some Warrior fans are like, come on, Malik Monk. Like, that's a good player. We'll take Malik Monk. Here's the problem, and it goes beyond the idea of the Warriors might have to give up Buddy Hield or Moses Moody. Amick reports, and this is no surprise, that the Warriors are very hesitant because Malik has a player option for the 27-28 season. So this is two seasons from now at $21.5 million, and that does not fit with the Warriors' future flexibility plans. And then he says there's also concerns simply about his fit on the team. But then he drops this in a little bit later. If they did take on Malik Monk, here's the thing now, Warrior fans. If they did take him on, it's likely the Warriors would simply try to trade him too. So a lot of us have been processing this like, but then you'd have Malik Monk to sort of replace Moses Moody or whatever. And he's a good guard. He can score and he can shoot. Sure, not a great defender, etc. The Warriors don't like the fit, financially or basketball, to the point where it's highly likely that if they acquired him, they would simply try to move that contract to and turn him into player X, whoever that might be. So the idea of this working out and just Malik Monk ending up a Warrior seems highly unlikely.
Right, and he goes on to add that it's unlikely that the Kings would lift the protections entirely, the protections around the pick that they'd send the Warriors, but it's fair to wonder if the prospect of them lowering those protections in the coming days might be enough to get a deal done. So if you're Mike Dunleavy and you're thinking about the worst possible outcome, the worst possible outcome to me is Kuminga signs the qualifying offer. He's here. He's miserable. The team's not happy. He's not happy. And he walks for nothing. So what would be the next worst thing that could happen? Well, you trade him to the Kings in a sign and trade. You get Malik Monk on basically a two-year deal. You get a lottery-protected pick in 5 years, 2030. And then you have to go about figuring out what to do with Malik Monk and how you trade him. And also, by the way, you would get rid of Buddy Hield or Moses Moody, which you don't want to do.
You do not want to do.
Buddy is a good glue guy, a chemistry piece. He plays every game.
And he's a shooter.
And Moses Moody is homegrown, and he actually, at $13 million a year, is a very well-priced role player.
Might be your best defender.
Yeah, it could be. With GP2, depending on his health, you know.
Getting late in that career.
It is, a little bit, but.
Getting a little long in the tooth.
I mean, Draymond's your best defender, but your best wing defender. Right.
On ball. You're right. Like, I was struck. I mean, this just stuck with me. Some of you all remember this game. Toward the end of the season, the Pistons were in town, and it was a close game. Came down the stretch, and they just flat put Moses Moody on Cade Cunningham. They're just like, do it, dude. And he did it. He picked him clean a couple times and won the game and helped win the game. And so, you know, is it perfect? Is he consistent yet? Maybe not always, but I think he's got that in him. And we are very early in that new contract that he signed. And so I get it. I get the Warriors being very hesitant to give either of those players up.
Yeah, and so what this would be Kuminga and, let's just say, Moody for Monk and a first-round pick, and then you would try to turn Monk into something. And just looking at salary matches, would you rather have Malik Monk or Marcus Smart on the team?
Mm.
Marcus Smart, a good defender and kind of a grit-and-grime sort of a player. Not a great three-point shooter, not a great scorer, but somebody who could come in and be, you know, a glue guy, somebody who's not going to be high usage, and he makes about what Malik Monk makes. And he's expiring. So, that's the caliber of player. Well, if you were looking for a one for one, that's kind of what you're looking at.
And then the other thing that I'm thinking about, because Amick mentions, is like, it's totally unclear how tradable Malik Monk is. So you may not be able to do that right away. And the thought comes up, it's like, I can tell you one of the reasons he's going to be hard to trade, because he has a player option.
Right.
Oh, by the way, why do you think the Warriors don't want to give Jonathan Kuminga a player option knowing that what they would likely try to do next is try to trade him. The player option contract becomes markedly harder to trade, which is why I just don't think they're going to budge on that one.
Well, you could always attach the pick that you just got. So you attach the lottery protected pick. I mean, if that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
The other player who makes about the same amount of money, and all roads lead back to this player when we talk trades, Nikola Vucevic. Vucevic makes about $21 million. So would you rather have Vucevic, Marcus Smart, or Malik Monk?
Well, the problem with going to Vucevic is now you've weakened your guards because you've lost either Moses or Buddy. You're not going to get Malik Monk either. And you're already short when it comes to wings and guards and shooters. So if you turn it into Nikola Vucevic, I get that he's a shooter, but he's a stretch five.
Yep.
Kind of dealt like he's a much more refined version.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
Version of what Quentin Post does, but he's a terrible defender. And so I just don't know. It still leaves you short. It leaves you short in having people out on the perimeter who can both shoot and defend.
Well, defend especially, because with Seth Curry, you've got additional shooting, and DeAnthony Melton is a good player in the backcourt. But
good defender.
Not a lot of size there. And the other people who make about that much money, Dylan Brooks. Would you like Dylan Brooks, Mark? Can I interest you in a Dylan Brooks?
I'm out.
How about Kyle Kuzma? I mean, all the guys who are making between 20 and 22, they're not refined.
But you're talking about why this is still dragging on. The bottom line for both sides, there is no perfect answer here.
Right.
There just isn't.
So if you're the Warriors, I think right now you're looking at the best of the worst scenarios. And to me, a sign and trade is still better, even if you have to deal with Malik Monk in December or January. That's still better than a year of an angry Kuminga.
Yeah, but you're giving up Moody or Buddy.
Fair. It's. I mean, there's nothing that's ideal.
No, no doubt. No doubt.
Hey, I'm Batman.
I'll miss him.
I do not
want. I saved the day.
I don't want those press conferences.
My name is Buddy.
Thank you, Buddy. I don't
I'm nice.
I know you are. I'm
perhaps.
Want, thank you. I want him and Jimmy Butler next
all
to
you
each
have?
Other.
The audacity.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Thank you.
And don't forget the two fingers. Granny, what are you about to do on the radio? What's happening?
You guys had a couple of great guests on today, so we're going to hear from both of them. First, Greg Cosell, and then the Hall of Famer, Joe Thomas.
I love it when we dominate best of. It's my favorite thing. It makes my drive home go so much faster. Absolutely love it. All right, man. That's coming up, and it's brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. You want to do it again tomorrow?
Yeah, I got locks to give out.
Well, just one.
Well, yeah.
Just one.
Sure.
But that's a big one.
Oh, yeah?
12-2.
He's hot.
And it's a division game.
And it's a division game, and it's a tight spread.
Oh, the pick is in,
it's just
by the
a
way.
Wee little number. It's just a wee little number.
Yeah.
Oh. All right. For Dibs, for Granny, for Lucas, I'm Mark. Shoot your shots. All you got. So I'm fading, and I want y'all to fade with me.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.